With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
TalkSTL.com, Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the War Room of the O'Keefe Think Tank, this is Real Spoilers, episode 156, the box office report for the week ending January 31st, 2016.
Thank God we're out of January.
Yeah, well, we're not. It's January 31st.
I don't know if you know how the calendar works, Joe.
As far as movies go,
we need to walk
done with
Joe through how time functions.
Well, to be fair, he just learned what a cough was. So
That's true.
Yeah, it's only a week. It's one thing at a time. My brain, baby steps. Too many concussions.
And yeah.
It just doesn't stay. The sad part is
they're self-inflicted.
They are, yeah.
Yeah. So let's go around the room first, and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. So before we jump into the box office report, shameless plugs. Don't forget that we are available on the iTunes.
Finally.
Finally.
Oh, my gosh.
At long last. You can go there and subscribe and rate and review us, and that helps us a lot, and we greatly appreciate it. So also, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, you could share an episode. You could join our league of show sharers, like Librarian Cynthia, Chris Sanders, Ryan Breidenbecker, Brian Kelly, Travis Tewitt, Lena Thunsel.
That's a fun name to say, though.
I hope I'm saying that right. Maybe it's Linnea Thunsel. She sounds like she'd be like a... I always like to try and figure out what their names sound like they would be. She sounds like she would be like Mary Poppins' best friend or something. Like she'd be one of those kind of persnickety nannies in a British...
Bed knobs and broomsticks,
yes,
maybe?
Precisely.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Dustin at Nerds and Night Gaming, Tom Comiskey, Tammy Sherman Powers, our favorite Civil War general. Tammy Two Zoons.
Hey, is there a change that he's gone through?
Tammy Two Zoons now has one less Zoon. Tammy Two Zoons, Brent Smith, Brian Kelly, and Lane Levanway.
Do we know what Lane's up to? I haven't heard about his career lately.
He's kind of fallen off.
But his mom.
Oh, mom shut it down.
No more internets.
He's got an energy drink that he's pushing. He's got his own.
Oh, I could see that. Some of the letters in his name are lightning bolts.
Yeah, exactly. Precisely. Nice. Like Percy Jackson.
Yeah. Oh, he's the Percy Jackson of energy drinks.
He's the Percy Jackson of energy drinks. Exactly. So you could go there and join our League of Show Sharers. We would greatly appreciate it if you like the show. It kind of brings it to people's attention, and that if you probably have friends who enjoy similar things.
Wait, did Disneyland Matt not share the show this week?
He did not share the show
this week. Oh, my gosh.
What you don't know is he got lost on a ride.
Is that what it is?
Are they trying to find him?
We don't know where he went.
He's adrift on the Jungle Cruise.
Disney's trying to cover it up.
What about that?
Big mess.
He has something to do with that secret club, right?
I think he was captured trying to loosen the brakes.
At Universal.
And the Wilding World of Harry Potter or whatever.
Yeah, last week he was doing espionage.
He was doing espionage for Universal. We got to do a trade or something.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Let's not go crazy.
I say we give him Blake.
All right, that's fine.
As long as he gets those engagement photos taken care of.
Exactly, eventually.
Well, I mean, at Disney World and Universal, those
are
great.
What more do you want? When Jaws pops out of the water.
Nice.
That's not the thing anymore, Joe.
Yeah,
they got rid of that.
It doesn't make the joke anymore.
He could have a heart attack, though.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So anyway, while we got you, don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter @RealSpoilers. Like us on Facebook. Or you could email us if you have a more private question for us.
Oh, I forgot we had an email.
Yeah, we know you forgot.
That's why Tom brought it up.
But yeah, you can email us at realspoilers@reviewstl.com.
No emails, though.
Okay.
So we are emailless. So I guess we will turn our eyes to the box office report. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom. And we actually have a new movie at the top of the charts.
Oh.
It is the Jack Black, Jackie Chan film, Kung Fu Panda 3.
Oh, I was like, what?
I know. I forgot that it was a cartoon. I was like, what? How do I not know about
this? Does Chris Tucker know about this?
Yeah.
You've been replaced, Chris. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he might. Is he working on the TV show?
No.
No, he's not.
It's not Jackie Chan or Chris Tucker. Like, maybe Brett Ratner's in there somewhere since he's not doing anything else.
Probably gets an executive producer's credit.
I'm sure. So Kung Fu Panda 3 made $37 million. So pretty decent opening for that one. It doesn't have any foreign numbers yet, so we'll see where that goes. But
what did the first one do? Like, I guess I always forget these come out.
Movies?
Like, yeah, movies. Yeah. Kung Fu Panda.
And they're not terrible.
No. No, I remember liking that first one.
I remember liking the first one. I remember sleeping through chunks of the second one.
Okay.
Yeah. The first one actually opened to $60 million. So that is a little odd when a third movie of a pretty popular franchise, I don't know if that's time of year. Yeah. Or,
well, it's also, I think it says a lot about what they must think about the Kung Fu Panda franchise that they're releasing it in January.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not crapping these out.
Well, you also don't want to
put knocking them. I mean, how long has it been?
It's been a while.
Since the
I'm sure they also didn't want to put it up against Zootopia.
Yeah, I mean,
give it enough space between that and Zootopia.
I was gonna say this might just be them trying to get that sweet spot, all these January releases that are decent.
Yeah,
so it might have been a smart move. I mean, as opposed to going against Zootopia, certainly against Star Wars time. You know, right. I think.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not a smart business move. I'm just saying it's interesting that they don't think it's an A-list property.
Yeah, like a summer.
Yeah,
I'm surprised by that too. Yeah. I would have thought summer for sure, because you're right. I think they've been making it for 3 or 4 years. When I saw Jack Black, he was on what was he on? He was on Fallon or he was on Conan or something, and he was promoting a movie and he was talking about Kung Fu Panda. I'm like, oh crap, I forgot. Like, it has been 3 or 4 years since the last one. You kind of forget that there's another one coming out,
right?
So they definitely take their time. It's DreamWorks, you know, they put a decent amount of time into their animation. It's not a Norm of the North production. Let's put it that way. Cool. I think that would be our new barometer. It's no Norm of the North. Does that sound good?
Jeez.
So anyway, yeah. So we'll see how that does in the
Clutch
coming weeks.
Cargo is better than Norm of the North.
Well, you have to film.
It's an old timey reference.
Oh, it's an old timey. Basically, it was an animated show where they didn't. They just actually Conan lifted off of it a lot, where they just would superimpose somebody's mouth talking for the talk. So it was a cartoon where the characters talked, and it was just like they just superimposed actual. It was disturbing.
Oh,
it was creepy.
It was like watching the.
It was kind of like the child. It was kind of like the animated equivalent of that website, Steve Buscemi Eyes.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was like that.
Okay.
It was like they would graft on human lips onto animated characters.
Not good.
That's
not good.
That's
have
no.
you seen
that's
how
you
have to take an old timey break. Have you seen the thing on Facebook? It's a video of someone has completely recreated the opening credits of Johnny Quest
and
stop
beautiful.
Motion. Oh my god,
I want that so bad.
It's
like
so
make that
cool.
movie.
Did you see that DC Comics is rebooting all of that stuff?
They do that all the time.
But I mean
they
like they're bringing it into like did you see the Scooby Doo stuff?
Yeah.
Holy crap. It's awful. Like it's awful.
It's like hipster Shaggy.
Yeah.
Scooby Doo was never that good.
I love Scooby-Doo.
Right. Scooby-Doo holds a place of nostalgia, right?
Well, but it wasn't good.
I bought the box set. I enjoy those old cartoons. I really do.
I will say they got, I think they're doing Johnny Quest with Darwin Cook, and it looks fantastic. Like, if anybody's going to draw the Hanna-Barbera stuff, it's Darwin Cook, and it looks amazing. Hmm. And Space Ghost.
Floated around in the 90s. They were floating around and doing the idea of doing a live action version. And Clooney's name was attached to Race Bannon.
And
now you're thinking 90s.
Do it now.
Clooney. I was like.
Even Clooney now.
I think make him.
Yeah.
I'd watch that.
In a heartbeat.
Kind of wish that happened.
It might happen. Who knows? I mean, the way they're doing
Speed
stuff,
Racer, which I enjoyed.
Speed Racer was. Yeah, Speed Racer was good.
I liked Speed Racer. It was not as reminiscent of the cartoon as I would have liked, perhaps. But I think that it gets a bad rap, and I'm not a big Wachowski fan.
Yeah.
I always want to put an R in there. Is there an R in there somewhere?
I just let you do it.
Wachowski?
Wachowski.
Wachowski. least I stopped saying
brothers anymore.
I stopped saying brothers. No, no, don't write any letters.
I think Speed Racer, for what they were trying to accomplish and the source material, I think they did a great job with it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people missed that. They didn't understand what they were going for with it. And
yeah.
It looked cool.
I was bummed that my son, I don't know if I ever told the story on the podcast, was almost in the film Fred Claus. And and I was really bummed because it was like, I think that he would have been, especially at that age, he would have been a perfect Spritel. And that was like,
I can see that.
You know?
That's pretty good.
I was like, oh, he would have crushed that role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So close.
Yeah.
So close.
And the younger one would have been a great Chim Chim.
Could have had a whole Hollywood thing going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Just explain the family hierarchy.
And apparently their mother was a great Trixie Delight.
There it is.
I mean, we're just, yeah. And we got Paul Giamatti. So,
yeah. And boom. Yeah.
I don't know if that goes with the rest of the references. Yeah,
it
doesn't,
but it works.
What's in that picnic basket? Crazy.
That would explain all the colors.
Number two, The Revenant came in with $12 million. That's a 24% drop in week six. It's up to $137.8 million domestic. And Leo got another piece of hardware.
Yeah,
he won the Screen Actors Guild.
Is that his first one?
Screen Actors Guild?
I think it, no, he got a Golden Globe, didn't he?
No. But I mean,
is that his first Screen Actors Guild?
Oh, I don't know. Does anybody keep track of that?
Well, I know Screen Actors Guild Award. Yeah. They showed a picture of him like hugging Kate Winslet, and it said like Leo's first.
Oh, it might have been.
Which is still strange. Like, how is that his first one of those?
Because they're racist. Isn't that how that works?
I think that's how it works. Yeah. If you don't get one, you're racist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Well, hopefully he'll win the BET award next time those come around. So, you know, he's racking up the hardware for that performance. So, I mean, next up, coming up.
Soul Train Awards.
Next up.
Oh, that's true.
Don't forget passed that. Over at the Oscars.
Oh, no. Don't even say that. The Revenant has made another $109 million foreign. So it's up to actually almost $250 million on its $135 million budget. So that's pretty decent.
Well, funny is like I was actually supposed to work on an article for about the Oscars, and then, you know, with all everything that's happening, this is for my work life. And I was like, I don't know if we really want to steer towards that. And so we're like, yeah, let's not do that article. Just because it opens up a lot of discussion.
Sure, yeah.
And in it, I started the article before I like checked all the nominees, and I was like, I was just going under the, I was like, well, Paul Dano deserves it, but it'll probably go to Leo. And then I realized, oh, Paul Dano's not even nominated.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, well, that's even crazier because he deserves it and he's not even nominated. Yeah. I'm still like kind of baffled.
It's award shows.
There's no rhyme or reason.
They're always like that. I will say that I a lot of times with like, why aren't there more black people nominated? I historically always haven't had a lot of patience because normally it comes down to like, there's one black person and people are kind of like, why didn't this guy get nominated? But that is not, for sure not the case this year.
No.
Like, there are ample options.
I think Ryan Coogler should have been nominated.
Yeah.
Absolutely. For Creed. I think Michael B. Jordan should have been up. Sam Jackson. And I mean, maybe. Yeah. I don't like that. I might be a little partisan on that one just because I liked that movie a lot, but.
Oh, it performance is great. I think that's
a bunch. And Samuel L. Jackson is a popular actor. I mean, when I say popular, I mean popular among actors. Mm-hmm. And so, that mystifies
it
me.
It does. And I still think that's maybe one of my favorite Samuel L. Jackson characters in a Tarantino film.
It could
like,
be.
He is so good
in
that.
I think Jules is probably...
Yeah, you're
Jules
not gonna,
will always, oh, yeah, will I always mean, win, but this is...
I love this character.
Him in Django as well, but this is like... That's like A1, A2.
Yeah, I mean,
like it's not like I can't. Those are my three favorite characters. But yeah, I don't. I guess if there had been, you know, if there had been no performances and then people are complaining about it, it's like, well, nothing really came out that you that should have been nominated.
No, I think we all agree that this.
But this year it was like the fact that Coogler didn't get nominated is unbelievable.
Yeah,
like that dude,
Michael B. Jordan. I mean,
I agree.
That was
Fantastic Four was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, seriously, with Creed, it's like I know
that movie shouldn't have worked.
I know the movie's called Creed, but one, it shouldn't have worked. And I mean, it was really kind of a bait and switch in that, like, so many people went to that because it was the next Rocky movie.
Right.
And it was not the next Rocky
movie.
Not
at all.
And nobody walked out of that movie saying, I got screwed.
Should have been Rocky.
Yeah, been Rocky.
Why didn't I get more Rocky?
He was such a supporting, and that's why he's up for supporting
and he
actor.
Should be,
but
and
like,
he absolutely, absolutely. Should be.
But he was such a side note in that movie,
and
it was an amazing movie. You know, it didn't detract from it at all that it wasn't a Rocky centric film.
Honestly, I think it made it better.
I think it did too.
Yeah,
because it gave a context to Creed's story,
right?
That it wouldn't have had if it were just a new story.
Correct.
Like if that was just like if that was the first movie,
if they're rebooting it,
right? I mean, yeah, it's a soft reboot, yeah. but if that was the first movie ever, you'd be like, why do I care about that? But because it's Rocky and it brings all that history with it.
Yeah.
You know,
it hits that sweet spot that Disney loves is that nostalgia and new.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean,
I mean, it can't be one for the showiest, you know?
Yeah.
You've got Eddie Redmayne. You've got
of course we do. Why wouldn't
Leo?
You?
Like,
I think I've said this before, but I think stuff like Eddie Redmayne is not going to age well at all. And I
that
think
performance
it's so topical right now.
Not just
it's
topical. Just, I think in 20 or 30 years, it's going to be deemed offensive. It's going to be read as blackface.
Yeah. Why did
interesting?
It's just why didn't you get an Egyptian to play an Egyptian?
Why didn't you get a transgender person to play this transgender role?
Why did you get a white person to play Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
I mean, it's all the same category.
Strange.
Well, that's just weird.
Well, we haven't heard the rest of the cast, and so I'm holding out. I'm reserving judgment for the word we're talking about is the
Samuel L. Jackson is playing Elizabeth Taylor.
Well, you know. But
Joe Fiennes is playing Michael Jackson in some TV thing.
It's based on an urban legend that after 9/11, that Marlon Brando, Elizabeth Taylor, and Michael Jackson rented a car and decided to drive from New York to L.A. And that it just was a nightmare. And then
the story.
Yeah. And it's not true, but it's so the thing is we've only heard that Joseph Fiennes is playing Michael Jackson, which on its face sounds crazy and offensive. But I kind of wonder if the whole movie's going to be like that. So are we going to see Harvey Fierstein as Elizabeth Taylor? Are we going to, you know what I mean? And is it going to be, I don't know. But I just kind of feel, you know, Keenan
Ivory
Wayans is Marlon Brando.
Yeah, Jack
Marlon
White
Brando.
Is Elvis and like Walk the Line. I mean, Walk Hard.
Walk Hard.
You know, where they had like, I mean, they cast again. I mean, the Beatles were. You know,
it was like Paul Rudd and
right.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of wondering if that's where they're going is very tongue in cheek casting.
I honestly hope they don't.
Yeah.
Like just to see that train wreck of a thing. And they're like, no, it's fine. It's totally fine. Yeah. We cast a British guy as Michael Jackson.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. So anyway, Revenant making some good money and Leo winning some awards. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Oscars end up with that one. Number 3, Star Wars The Force Awakens, made another $10.4 million. Just another $10 million.
Whatever.
26% drop in week 7, $895 million domestic, $1.087 billion overseas.
It's not going to make it $1 billion domestic. I told them how they could do it. I told them. Nobody listened.
They're at almost $2 billion, and they were almost $2 billion last week. Yeah. So it's kind of the brakes have been put on at this point.
But right now, the theaters are loving it.
Yeah,
that's all.
It's all money.
I mean, it's making
like, yes.
It's on such a grand scale. When I say it's kind of stopped, I mean again, it's making $10 million against Kung Fu Panda open with $30 million, so it's making decent money. But when we're talking about competing with Avatar, $2.9 billion.
I mean,
this is not
I guess
at 2
if it just
yet,
sticks around,
no, there, it, but $900 million.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I mean,
it's not
gonna
if it had zero drop for the it would still take it 10 weeks to make another $100 million.
If they could tack on some, like they did that with the re-releases.
Put in two deleted scenes and re-release this movie, and you will make another $200 million.
Attach a teaser to Rogue One.
Yeah,
I remember one of the times they re-released Star Wars. You were able to see a teaser for Empire.
Yeah.
And I remember we sat there.
They did that with the original
so fast. Three. And it was like, and it was like, I don't even know what we
Not
saw.
The original
I just
three,
remember though. Seeing like Boba Fett in the teaser. And I was like, whoa. You know, because at that point I had only seen him on the holiday special.
I think that's so weird. They introduced him on the holiday special.
Yeah.
Like before you saw him in a movie.
It was the best part about it.
That is a terrible.
That is true. Yeah.
As a B. Arthur fan, I must take umbrage.
Harvey Corbin phoned it in.
Yeah. What do you get a Wookiee for Christmas when he already owns a comb?
Mm-mm. Yeah. I don't know. I've never seen it.
I've never seen that special. That's a
so
musical
bad.
Number.
Yeah.
Oh.
In that.
No,
it's a song called.
It's terrible, Joe.
But you know who else?
I'll get you a copy. I've heard enough.
But you know what? Just a little trivia. So it's the first appearance of Boba Fett. Do you know who else's first appearance
the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Hold on.
Lumpy. Chewbacca's son. Yes.
His name is Lumpy?
Yes.
Okie dokie.
I know this, and I'm just kicking myself right now. I can't think of who it is.
John Bon Jovi.
What?
Oh, really?
Oh, wait a minute.
Who is he? He sings on backup.
That's his first.
His uncle owned a recording studio in New Jersey, and they recorded a lot of the musical stuff for that. And he sings backup on like one of the R2-D2 songs or something. But he's credited as John Bon Jovi, which is his real name.
Right?
Yeah. Wow.
That's interesting.
So what's crazy is that they wanted, I think originally they wanted Jedi to be about Wookiees instead of Ewoks.
Yeah,
that's absolutely true.
And thank goodness they pulled it, because this holiday special is all about Wookiees, and it's terrible.
Yeah, but if you take, that would have been kind of cool to see the Wookiees like fighting alongside.
I don't know. I'm just saying we got a Wookiee movie.
We saw that. We saw it in the prequels.
Yeah,
that's true. That's
but
true.
It didn't.
Yeah.
I think in the first Force Unleashed game, like Vader attacks Kashyyyk and you're just like killing Wookiees left and right.
It's just painful. The Millennium Falcon looks like a Buick LeSabre. Like, it's like, that doesn't even look right.
Princess Leia is coked out of her mind.
Yeah, she does sing a wonderful song about life, Dave.
Yeah, well,
and John Bon Jovi sang R2-D2, We Wish You a Merry Christmas. And it was on... It was,
does he really go, beep, beep,
and
beep?
It was the Star Wars Christmas album.
Oh.
Christmas in the Stars.
Excuse me.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. But he sings lead on that.
Why not?
Yeah.
Excellent.
And it was his cousin, not his uncle.
Thank you. Well,
get your story straight.
Glad you did your corrections and omissions right up front. That was good. Self-corrections. Number four, The Finest Hours opened. That is the boat movie with Chris Pine?
Correct. And Casey Affleck.
Okay. Yeah. And they're out on a boat sailing around lost at sea?
No.
No. What is it about? they're rescuers. They're, what is it?
Chris Pine plays a Coast Guard men person thing guy, and a tanker, a storm comes in, a big nor'easter, and snaps a tanker in two, and so they send out their crew to rescue that tanker. Meanwhile, a second tanker snaps in two, and all that's left is Chris Pine.
So
he has to go out in this little tiny boat and rescue them, and it's a true story. And
was that Kevin Costner one?
You're thinking of Water World.
That's not what I'm thinking. What I'm thinking of. It was Kevin Costner and Ashton Kutcher.
Field of Streams.
Yeah.
No, this is not
the
same
movie altogether.
Yeah. that's you're thinking of the one where they're Coast Guards.
Yeah.
Well, just because there's a movie about Coast Guards, it's not based
going
on the
out
same
to
story.
Save a boat?
Well, what the hell else is a Coast Guard movie going to be about?
I feel like it's the same movie. It sounds like it's the exact same movie.
Wait a minute.
Is this just another one of those Coast Guard movies where they save a boat?
Save a boat. It's the same thing.
All these cowboys are always on horses.
Joe.
Way to minimize the Coast Guard.
My aunt
and uncle were in the Coast Guard.
All they do is save boats. I don't hate Coast Guard. Some of my friends are Coast Guards.
Some of my closest friends are.
I told my daughter it was okay if she dated somebody from the Coast Guard. It's okay.
Can't make this stuff up.
Oh goodness!
So it just sounds like the same crap.
No, so he has to go out, but it's a true story. It's a Disney movie. If you're gonna see it, it's not bad, but it's not great. If you're gonna see it, do not see it in 3D. Because most of the rescue scenes take place at night. So
you're not gonna see. Do they film it on the same lot as Pirates of the Caribbean 4?
Yeah. It's really
it's just
dark.
A black background, and they, like, guy with bucket of water is throwing it at him.
Yeah. It's just a radio broadcast.
Yeah.
Did you see his stuff from Wonder Woman? Did you see any of that stuff? The clips from they've released some footage from Wonder Woman. It looks pretty good. I'm not gonna lie. It's pretty it's got kind of like a 300 look to it.
They went a little heavy on the ramping up the
slow down, speed up
the speed and stuff like that. But it
looks interesting.
She
looks better than I thought she did.
She's
originally.
Legit.
Yeah. I agree.
She's also a soldier. So she is. Out of all of the people who are playing the Justice League, she's the one that can kick all their asses.
Gal Gadot is a legit soldier?
Yeah, she's...
All right. Yeah. So apparently he's playing Steve Trevor in two different generations. That's the deal. Like World War, like he's playing his grandfather.
Yeah. And I was going to say, so just like the TV show.
Correct.
Because, you know, the first season of Wonder Woman, which was on CBS, because I think they did a network jump. The first,
did
it was only three seasons. I think so.
Okay.
I could be wrong. But the first season was, you know, a period piece in the 40s. And he played, Lyle Waggoner played Steve Trevor.
Okay.
And then then the next season, because I was always like, I remember there being computers and robots, though. It's because they did a time jump, because I think it was really expensive, frankly, to do a period piece.
Did they explain it, or did they just were they just like, suck it?
Yeah, kind of.
Aren't they literally on a cue card, suck it on
but
the...
But he plays his, like, son or grandson.
Yeah.
I think it might just be a son at that point, because it was, like, 70s. And so he plays his son, and he's, of course, looks exactly like him.
Right,
but they
did
kind of touch on it, but it was...
It's interesting. I'm looking forward to that more now that I've seen some of it than I was before. It looks good. Like Sheila, it looks. I mean, it looks pretty cool.
We'll see. I think that, you know, they just need to. Well, I think they were smart with getting somebody who could actually handle the role.
You know. Yeah, and she did catch a bunch of garbage for being so skinny.
Oh yeah, but I was like, they're all. You know, that's why I was like, yeah, her. I mean, if you look at her resume, it's
kind of legit.
Yeah.
I mean, she's not doing the Fast and Furious movies anymore.
You know, I wasn't a believer at first because I did think she was so petite. But I mean, the more I see the costume and the more stills in the video, I'm like, she looks cool. Like, it looks good.
Yeah.
I just, at first, I was a little like, at first glance, petite,
as a comic nerd, you're like, she's built like Gina Carano, or she's built like a...
Right, like Gina Carano would have been a perfect build.
Physically, yes. Yeah. Lucy Lawless at one point would have made the perfect Wonder Woman. Now, I guess we'll see what happens.
I liked when they cast the Palicki or whatever from Friday Night Lights.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the footage I saw didn't look all that great.
That show was awful, but she looked
good. She was not the problem.
Yeah. She's actually great on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
It's
not bad.
Highlights.
Yeah.
I got bored.
You know what they're doing with that?
Are they spinning them off?
Do you know why?
Because they're probably going to kill off S.H.I.E.L.D.
Because he's Hawkeye. Like, he's the comic book version of Hawkeye.
Yeah.
That they can't call Hawkeye because they got Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at their dynamic.
Right. No,
it's them off the comic books. But, they're probably
Agent Carter's
S.H.I.E.L.D. Agent Carter's fantastic.
Yeah.
As a side note, they released that in Batman vs. Superman, Wonder Woman's going to be over 5,000 years old.
5,000 or 500?
5,000.
Oh, well.
So she is apparently retired and she's not doing the superhero thing.
I've heard that her and Bruce are going to have some sort of relationship. Like, that's why she's at, like, that opening.
Yeah, we'll see.
When they have, like, an interaction. Yeah. So, we'll see.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting.
There's going to be, at the theater, the spoilers are going to be, like, in two different sections.
Yeah.
It's going to be like a wedding.
Some of us sitting on one side.
It's going to be like a wedding where, like,
one of us on the other side.
Are you with the groom or with the people that think this is a bad idea?
Kevin will be over there.
Hey, I'm just going to say, Joe, if Joe watches Man of Steel a couple more times, he might be flipped back over to the
other. Joe will probably
sit in the middle.
Where are we at today? Do you like it or not?
No, I think there are good parts of it.
Okay.
That's my stance from now on. Like, there are good scenes to that movie. Overall,
just not thumb drive Jor-El.
Yeah, not thumb drive Jor-El,
Yeah. It was in focus.
Yeah.
So
it had some great
that's
CG.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, that whole opening sequence that looked good.
Yeah. So number
parts
five.
Parts of it were in color.
Some of it, yeah.
Number five, Ride Along too. Let's get right along here.
Let's not have this fight again.
You can listen to episode 2 through 154 for any material on Man of Steel. Ride Along 2 made $7.9 million in week 3. That's a 37% drop. It's up to $70.3 million on a $40 million budget. It's made $17 million overseas, so it's up to a little over $80 million worldwide. So about double its budget. So it's doing okay.
Yeah.
Not terrible, just not the success they hoped for.
Not like the first one.
No, I don't know what we're going to do as far as the sequel goes, but maybe.
Well, we won't be doing anything. Yeah, I'm not.
They didn't ask.
I'm not an investor.
Never mind.
I passed. Yeah, okay. Put all my money in Dirty Grandpa.
Oh, good. Well,
literally.
Yeah, well, you'll be
literally
happy.
Put it in
that's
Dirty
the,
Grandpa.
That's a joke they would have made.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It was an homage to that movie.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. Okay.
Be glad.
I know. Yeah, I feel for you guys.
Yeah, it was tough. It was a tough one.
You all took a bullet on that one.
Number six, The Boy, still sticking around. $7.8 million, only a 28% drop. That's pretty darn good. $21.4 million on a $10 million budget.
On a $3 budget?
Yeah. Is that Blumhouse?
I don't think this
I
one
was. I
don't
think so. I feel like you have to ask that every
we do at this point.
This has a,
didn't you hear it? This has a $10 million budget.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
He does not operate in that echelon.
No, he gave like Paranormal Activity like 7 or 10.
Yeah, like 10. Yeah. Almost 10.
And it didn't make it back. He was like, never mind. Yeah. I've made an error in judgment.
I'm intrigued about this one. I mean, I'll check it out.
I might. Yeah. I mean, I will at some point
when it's in my grasp.
Correct.
Only a 28%.
What does that
drop.
Mean?
It just near my face at the time. If it's in front of me and I can push a button, I will check that movie out. Most likely, maybe.
So anyway, so it's me.
I don't feel like hitting the play button on that.
Yeah,
just push it with my nose.
Speaking of Dirty Grandpa, number 7, Joe's favorite film of the year. $7 million, a 37% drop. It has made $22.2 million. We still don't have a budget. I don't know. Did we ever check Wikipedia or anything to see if there were
it
any budgets?
Like it couldn't have been more than 30. There's no way.
So if Adam Sandler would have been in this movie,
I would have eaten a
$25.9 million.
Like, I would have slipped my wrists if Adam Sandler was in this movie.
0.9.
Yeah, 25.9.
Just go ahead and make it 26.
Right?
No. Look, you don't deserve the 26.
Got to draw a line somewhere.
You don't deserve the 26. You get 25.9.
If it was up to you, would you have given it an extra $100,000?
I wouldn't have made it in the first place.
Right, but with all things equal. $7 million. That one's quickly dropping. It's 37% drop, but it didn't open with that fantastic of an opening either. So that one may be out of the top 10 in the next week.
Well, yeah. I mean, you've got Pride and Prejudice and Zombies next week and Deadpool the week after that. It's not going to last much longer.
Yeah. Interesting. We did get a comment today. Did you see the comment on Facebook that someone said that he loves, like a lot of people do, he said he loves it when critics hate a movie. Usually that means he'll love it. And he said he laughed out loud more than
he has
since The Hangover. Yeah.
Since The Hangover?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So some people apparently, I mean, you know.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah.
Just, more power to you.
Look, I've always, you know.
We're about to do an episode where we talk about bad movies that we love anyway.
Exact same thing. Like, I don't want to tell. I hate, like, this is our opinion, and I hate being like, you're wrong for liking that movie.
But in this case, we'll make
you're
an exception.
You're wrong for liking that movie.
Wow. It's just, you know, it depends on what you're in the mood for, you know. I mean, sometimes you just want to hear raunchy, bad jokes, whatever. You're not criticizing it for being a well-made film. You're just wanting to hear some dirty jokes, and if that's what you're in the mood for, then, hey.
Okay.
Well, this movie didn't have jokes. Were they technically jokes? Can you call them that?
Oof. I don't. No. Yeah. No. I just think it was lines of dialogue. I was like, that's
theoretical jokes.
Yeah. Right. So anyway, that's Dirty Grandpa. Number 8, The Fifth Wave, $6.6 million, 36% drop in week 2. That's up to $19.7 million. They cannot be too happy with that. It made 27 overseas, so it is a little over $40 million on a $38 million budget.
Think of all the money they saved by not having aliens in it.
Oh, right. So there were like basically no special effects.
Did you see a ship?
You see a ship.
Okay. Right.
At the beginning, you see
a
ship.
With like a giant fan blowing everything out of the way.
Yeah.
A lot of people looking up over the camera.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But no, you don't actually see an alien.
It's not the success of a Hunger Games or
you're
even
never going to see that again.
Divergent.
I really
movie.
Don't. I don't think. I think those Hunger Game movies were so well made. You're never going to see the success of these young adults.
I'll never say never.
But there's nothing else out there.
Well.
You know what I mean? Yet. Like they've
I guess Twilight.
That's true. Yeah.
Twilight was a $1 billion a movie. Yeah. I mean, and who would have thought that was?
Yeah.
Yeah. You also look at like I mean, what? How? Okay, so 15 years ago, there wasn't a Harry Potter.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Yeah. And Harry, but they also took that. Like they, I feel like they took Harry Potter like super, like not serious. Like we need to get this right.
Yeah,
you know.
There's starting with the third one.
Yeah. I mean, Oh, the movie. You mean the from the movie? Say, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. With the third. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. It got way better at the end.
But, you know, from a movie standpoint, I just mean, like, even just from a right. I don't know when the books came out, but you think it's only. It's recent that we've had.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that has not been in our, you know, library for
that's true.
Decades.
You know, if I were Marvel or DC, I would jump all over that. Like, you have the Teen Titans.
Yeah,
Harry Potter comic.
No. But I mean,
to a Teen Titans.
But like, if you're going to capitalize on the young adult,
I think
genre.
You have a better chance seeing it now. More with Marvel being within Disney.
Yeah.
Because Marvel will. I mean, they do an
with any property is they figure out ways to package the property to certain audiences. So I think you might see it.
Yeah, like the Young Avengers or the DC as the Teen
Aren't
Titans.
Aren't they doing a live action
Young Justice? That cartoon was fantastic. That cartoon
aren't
was
they
great.
Making that on TNT or something? Aren't they
it's
making
gone.
A live action?
It's off. They canceled.
Oh, they canceled it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which makes me think they canceled it. I don't think that Cyborg movie is getting made. I think that's going to be a Teen Titans movie.
That would make way more sense. I don't know why you're making a Cyborg movie.
They've been pushing that character since Jeff Johns took over as like creative. Like they've been trying to put him as like one of the main characters. It's like nobody cares about Cyborg.
Just. You know,
he's a guy.
He's a more angry Inspector Gadget. You know,
yeah, I mean, like he works on that team dynamic, but I don't care about a solo character.
Okay, yes, you got helicopters. Now.
Sweet, you have a rocket arm.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. It's a pizza slicer hand. Fantastic.
He's kind of a Deus.
I don't
want
to marginalize.
He pretty much
role,
is. Yeah, like any if it comes down to like any situation where the Justice League or the Teen Titans
Deus
can't
Ex Machina machine. Oh, I can
send in Cyborg. Yeah. Take care of it.
Yeah. And number 9, 50 Shades of Black. Joe, did you go see that one?
I did. No.
I was like, wait, what?
No. It's tough because I think the Wayans family is extremely talented. Like, I don't think there's really like a person.
Then why don't they let those ones make movies?
I don't know. I don't know. But
I'm going to get you
Marlon and Marlon and Sean and Damon and Keenan and even Kim, who was on In Living Color. I think they're all extremely, and even Damon's son are great.
Oh yeah.
So I was kind of looking forward to this just because I like the Wayans brothers. And then I realized that I think it's just Marlon. I don't think Keenan Ivory had anything to do with it because he wrote like the first two Scary Movies.
Yeah. He was very funny. Well, at some point the Scary Movie franchise got taken over by the airplane guys. At least a couple of them, like Pat Proft, I think. And,
And they weren't as funny. Like, they became Airplane. They became the Airplane, which I love Airplane. Don't get
me
wrong.
Yeah, the first Airplane's great. The
first one's
awful.
Awful.
Yeah. And if you want to see the second Airplane movie, rent Top Secret.
Yes. Right.
It's better.
It's very good.
And it's from the same guys, and it's the movie they made instead of the cash grab of Airplane 2.
And it's better.
I see what you're... Okay, yeah.
Yeah, they wanted them to come back and make Airplane 2, and they were like, no.
Right.
And that we want to make this movie, and so they went off and made Top Secret, and the studio just went ahead with Airplane 2 anyway.
Yeah. Right.
Which is an awful movie.
It is an awful movie.
And just recycles a lot of jokes. And you can tell, like, it was in that age kind of like right as home video was coming onto the scene, because I don't think they would ever make the movie like that today because they recycled so many jokes, and I think they felt like they could get away with it
because you couldn't see Airplane.
Because you couldn't see Airplane again. But there were a lot of people at that point that could, because home video and cable, Airplane was, that might have been the first movie I ever saw on cable.
Yeah, I saw it on home video. I didn't see it at the movies,
first R-rated movie I ever saw too was that same weekend on cable.
Basic Instinct,
the Gong Show movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait,
You're thinking of Confessions?
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
No, I didn't see my first R-rated movie when I was 29.
No. I was trying to make sure that was the one I was thinking of with Sam Rockwell and George Clooney.
Yeah,
right. Okay,
but there was a thing called the Gong Show movie, and with Chuck Barris and
I had seen a handful really bad. And I can't remember what the first one was. I definitely remember seeing Excalibur.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good one. You know, that got kind of a pass because, you know, I was a big history buff, and they're like, well, you know,
it's kind of history.
But I do remember, like, also, you know, one of the first ones, it was something about young doctors or something, and it was not a porn. So
Young Doctors in Love?
It might have been, but it was like...
That was a movie. It was like an Airplane type knockoff.
But it was at the drive-in, and I remember, you know, my mom was like, they would just have me turn around.
One of my parents did that to me, too.
just turn around.
And look at
it was
back.
Lethal Weapon.
Well, so I started doing it voluntarily, and my mom's like, wow, he's really being good about that. Like, yeah, it wasn't putting up a fuss or anything.
Emmanuel was on the...
It's because, no, the same movie was on the screen behind us. So I would turn around and look out the back window and watch the movie.
That's pretty
and
great.
And then it was like about it.
Young Doctors in Love. It was directed by Gary Marshall.
Yeah.
Similar in tone to the Airplane movies. Yeah. It spoofs a variety of medical shows, in particular, General Hospital.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it had many guest stars from ABC soap operas.
And I was looking out the back window watching the same damn That's movie. Awesome. And then she caught on, and then I had to get down and kind of huddle underneath the foot area.
And that was where his dad was hiding all his Playboys.
Right. Ta-da!
Yeah, I found
it. It was definitely Basic Instinct, or it was three that I can remember.
Well, that's a way, one way to go.
Yeah,
in.
It was either that or Heavy Metal. Or yeah.
I snuck into Heavy Metal.
What else?
Fritz the Cat.
No, it was. I think it was either Basic Instinct or Heavy Metal.
I snuck into Heavy Metal at the Esquire, and we actually did the Three Stooges walking backwards into a theater thing, and it worked because at the time the Esquire, this is I think before they had their like big rehab,
right?
And it was mostly staffed by an older crowd.
Right.
And I remember these ladies kind of looking at us, and we were waiting for the one show to let out, and we walked in backwards while the other show was coming out.
You walked backwards through them, and it was.
And I remember them kind of looking over at us, but not saying anything, and we just sat there and waited for the previous show to empty out and clean up, and we just sat there in the seats and didn't move at all. And then we watched Heavy Metal.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
wow.
Totally. I just bought that on Blu-ray. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It looks fantastic. Yeah.
And so rounding out the box office, number 10, 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi made $6.2 million, a 31% drop in week three. It is now to $42.7 million domestic.
You know what this means? More Transformers movies.
Yeah.
That's what it means.
Doesn't mean 14 Hours, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. It's this, or he's trying to put together another Bad Boys.
Yeah. I mean... Though Bad Boys 1 and 2 are awesome.
They need, I mean,
those
honestly.
Those movies are great.
Yeah, I think Will Smith needs another, like, blockbuster type movie.
He's got a Suicide Squad coming out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he needs, yeah. And I will say, just of note, number 11, Daddy's Home. This is the first time in 6 weeks that Daddy's Home has not been in the top 10. It made another $3 million, only a 39% drop. It is up to $142 million domestic. So, it's doing pretty well.
Do we know anybody who's seen it?
Nope.
No. It's made over $200 million worldwide now. So,
I mean, good for it's good to see that Will Smith kind of got a, or not Will Smith, Will Ferrell got a hit back. Like yeah. He was kind of lagging there for a while.
That's one of his highest grossing movies.
Yeah,
that's
crazy. Good for him.
Awesome.
That's the box office.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So, so I guess that's it for this week. We will go around the table, and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
I'm Kevin Brackett. Follow me there as well at Kevin R. Brackett.
I am Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, we will be waiting for you at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. You can go to the iTunes. You can subscribe and rate and review us. And might I point out on the iTunes and other places wherever podcasts are stored, we've done 150 of these so far.
You've already forgotten the number?
It was 42 minutes ago.
You're going to have to say another
get
one.
Get off my ass.
I know. Come on, man. We got to pee.
Yeah.
So, that's why you go with 150 plus episodes. Yeah.
So if there's a movie, if there's an episode that maybe you've missed or you just got around to seeing a movie, don't forget. They're there waiting for you. So you can dig into the archives. There's lots of content there for you. It's taken us a long time, but we finally built that content up. Got an email.
No, I was going to say, if you're like, Tom, just started episode one and you'll have forgotten everything you've listened to.
Precisely.
So they're like new episodes waiting for you.
Yeah, I would like that podcast that reviews grown-ups every week. Like we could...
Is that a thing?
Yeah, I think that's
every
a movie.
Week they
every
week,
it's either that or Grown Ups 2, but every week they review Grown Ups 2.
Oh man,
that's supposed to be really funny. I've never listened to it, but so I
would love to hear
at
how
my
it changes.
Age. I could be on that podcast. I could do that. A lot of times, that's why I let Joe do all the synopsisizing because I don't remember what happened in these movies. I'm like, oh yeah, it's like I'm seeing it again for the very first time.
But you also tend to use probably. A little more official.
Yeah, I'm just going off
you
what
use
I
technology.
Kind of
yeah.
remember.
Although, I mean, yours is more accurate.
Yeah. It is true. That's also true.
I can't synopsize because it'll only be 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's a long trailer. Extended cut?
I did not need to dwell on the details. Let's just talk about the damn movie.
So anyway, we're on iTunes. So go there, rate and review us, and share us with a friend, why don't you? That helps us a lot, and we really appreciate it. So that's it for this week, or this episode. Not this week, because we do two a week. week. So that's it for this episode. Coming up on the next one, it's the return of deep fried tacos. They do come back on you. And so for people that aren't familiar with a deep fried taco, because it's been a while since we've done one, deep fried taco is a movie that's bad, but you like anyway. Just to be clear, it's not a movie that's deliberately bad or campy. It's a movie that just isn't good, but you've decided to like it anyway.
Correct.
So that's a very subtle but important distinction. Because
and we don't allow repeats, do we? Like, Joe can't do Monster Squad again, right?
I wouldn't do Monster Squad. I did Monster Squad on, like, a Halloween episode that we just finished recording 2 days ago.
And that's not a deep-fried taco. That's just poo.
You shot your dirty whore mouth. So there we go. This is the sort of, this is like a little preview of the fights you will see as we pull out our deep-fried tacos.
Oh, his deep-fried taco like, you was like Con Air.
Yeah, mine was Con Air.
Yeah.
Still holds up.
Mine was The Adventures of Ford Fairlane.
Also great. Like, so, not great, but it's, I do enjoy that one as well.
But it's a perfect example of a deep-fried taco. That is not a good movie. But for some reason, I like it.
Yeah.
So anyway, that will be coming up on your next episode. You've been warned.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.